When I read these verses from Ephesians 4, I thought about a particular member of my family, and I won't narrow it down any more than that, but she is what you call a fast talker, and it's hard to keep track of every, I mean, the words just come out so fast. It's kind of like a fire hydrant, and I found that when I'm around my parents, who need things said a little bit more slowly to hear every word, they actually need me to translate when this particular daughter is talking. And that's not if you, even considering if you bring caffeine or sugar into the equation, that then we need the translation. But I thought about her as I read these, and you're not supposed to be able to read that. That's the whole text that Russ read to us this morning, and it's just two sentences. The first is one sentence with 76 words in it. This is what made me think of this particular daughter. The second, oh, you can go back for a second. Yeah, the second sentence has 96, almost 100 words in one sentence. I should have warned Russ to take a very deep breath before he started into each one, because that's just how the Apostle Paul wrote. And it makes me think of scenes with my daughter where she's just trying to get all the information out real fast. Well, what I want to do with you today is look at these two sentences because they are chapter 4 of Ephesians, which is a letter written to the Christians in Ephesus. And the whole letter follows themes of unity, getting along, truth, love. And in this particular chapter, chapter 4, it picks up on the themes that Mark Cadabaugh mentioned in his extended sharing time last week. And that was growing and caring. And so I want to look at the themes of grow and care in this part of this letter. It was written to the Christians in Ephesians, but not meant just to be for them. It was meant to be circulated among all the early churches as part of what God wants from the church. Not just a particular church, but from all of his churches. So we're taking this as kind of our direction as we look ahead to the coming year. And what is it that God wants from us? So I want to look at the first of these long sentences. It takes up three verses to make one sentence. And I have tried to translate it for you, much as I do sometimes for my daughter. So this is my short version of the 76-word sentence. Verses 11 through 13, that God gives leaders to the church to equip all the church to care and to grow. That's the idea I see going on in verses 11 through 13. And I want to just walk through that with you and explain where I got this. But I'm thinking you might remember this, or it might stick with you more than the fast, long version. So let's start with God gives leaders. Where did I get that from? Well, Paul actually lists several different kinds of leaders, right? So I'm just condensing that. But Paul says God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. That may be five things. Some scholars say that's four things, and pastor-teacher kind of goes together. Either way, God gifts and calls these kinds of leaders, but that's not the church. The next part is the important part. This isn't the main idea, right? So God raises up those kind of leaders. Why? It is to equip the saints. Now, we've talked about this before, but it's been a while. When I say the saints, you should be thinking, that's me. You may be thinking, that's not me. I'm no saint, right? But the way the New Testament talks about saints, those are God's people. Those are the ones that trust in Jesus and follow him. They are the ones that God has set apart in the world for his own glory and honor. That's what the word saints translates. You don't have to think about the medieval dudes with the halos and they've done miracles and all that. Saints is simply all the Christians, right? So Paul says God has given leaders to the church, and here's why, and here's the important part. It is to equip you, all the church is what I said. So he's given leaders to the church to equip all the church. Well, that still leaves you with the sentence unfinished. Why did God do that? What is it that he has given you this equipment for? What's the reason for that? So Paul says two things in his extra long sentence, two things to be equipped for. One is the work of service, and the other is the building up of the body of Christ. That's where I get care and grow. Because the work of service is very similar to the idea of worship or love. I think about the great commandment. What is that? It is to love or worship or serve God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. The work of service is the work of worshiping God and caring for others. So that's care. Let me just repeat all that so far. God's given leaders to the church, not because they're the point, but to equip you, all the church. Why? To care, right? To care for God, to worship, to love God, to care for others, right? And part two is for the building up of the body of Christ. That is to grow the church, the body of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how that's both deep and wide, right? You can grow up and mature, but you can also grow in terms of taking the message to the world and welcoming people into the body of Christ. But that's the main idea here, right? It's for you that you would care and grow as God's church. Now, the rest of the sentence, there's more up there because he was on a roll. It describes how long that is our mission, that is our vision. And it is until we all, this is all of us now, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is, until we have all spiritually grown up all the way. And it's not in this section, but part of his message is none of us are there yet. So our ongoing mission, our ongoing vision, and really the whole purpose of why God has raised up the church and this church is to care and to grow. To care for God and to care for others and to grow in maturity and to grow in blessing to the world. So let me go back to my summary, and I've added a little bit of extra definition just to pull in all those ideas. God gives leaders to the church to equip all the church to care. It's the work of service and the building up of each other, and to grow. That's unity and maturity. That was the first sentence. 76 words. The second sentence is 94 words. And again, here's my short version of the 94-worder. I challenge you to try to write a grammatically correct 94-word sentence. There's no way I could do that. Anyway, is this. So, if that first sentence is the proposition, so we are to grow up for the purpose of caring. So still those same two things. But this is why it's our ongoing mission, right? We're to keep growing and to grow up. So let me walk through this with you in the same way. Paul says we are no longer to be children. Now, it's a little bit of a head scratcher because if you've ever paid attention to our preamble to the children's message or to the words of Jesus, he makes a big deal about the importance of children and being childlike. And Jesus is talking about having a childlike faith, right? A trusting faith. Paul is not contradicting him. Paul is talking about the other side of childhood, which is both its immaturity and its, the naivete of children. They are easy to deceive. And he's saying when it comes to your Christian faith, yes, have a trusting faith like Jesus commended, but be careful that you're not led astray, that you're not tricked, that you're not deceived. And that's one reason he challenges us to keep growing in faith and growing up and growing deeper. So he gives two sub-definitions of what it means to no longer be children, but to grow up. Number one is to speak the truth in love, right? So that is a form of caring, to speak the truth, but to do so lovingly. That's why we have it on our wall over here. And you'll see at the very end, he's going to talk in the middle about growing, building up the body of Christ, but even that, he tags on the end, is to be done for the sake of love. So he's kind of bookended this whole, what are we here for, with the idea of caring, the idea of love. And then his number two definition of what it means to grow up in faith is this middle section, which basically ends with the building up of the body. I mean, it's a lot of extra words, and he uses this image of how the different parts of a body work together for the healthy functioning of the whole, and that's what he's describing, is we are to grow up into a healthy, functioning, spiritual body, right? That's the grow, and it's bookended by the idea of caring, so that we may care for God through worship, for the world, for each other. Here's my summary again, with a little extra definition. We are to grow up spiritually, no longer children who are easily deceived, but grow up for the purpose of caring for each other and for the world around us. So that's the two sentences from Ephesians. That's really our foundation, our marching orders as we try to understand where is God leading us this next year. Mark shared with you that came from a congregational lunch that fed kind of interviews with staff and session and to some degree deacons and all that. He brought back to you last week to say, what is our vision for the coming year? It is to grow and to care. And it's all built on this teaching from Scripture. So let me revisit what Mark named our vision for 2020. He listed these last week. And I was going to walk through them one more time. Two areas to grow, two areas to care. And I've added the words on the end because that's what I do, that kind of thing. How are we to grow? We're to grow in Christ. That is to grow deep, to grow up spiritually, to mature, to get to know Jesus, to get to know his word more and more, and not just in our head, but in our heart, right? To mature in faith. So how do we do that? We have Sunday school, Bible studies. We want to grow in discipleship. That is more mature Christian, building in relationship with a less mature Christian to grow deep, to mentor, to deepen, that sort of thing. Zach preached a message on discipleship about a year ago, I think. But that's one of the things he's trying to bring to the children and youth ministry is that model of discipleship. But we're to grow deeper. We're also to grow wider. And don't let that make you nervous. We're not trying to turn into a megachurch. We're just trying to be faithful with what God has gifted us with, right? If you've been in the church as a child, you've heard the song, "This Little Light of Mine." Do we hide it under a bushel or under a basket? And what do we say? No. We shout that at preschool every week when we sing it. Hide it under a bushel. And all the kids go, no. Right? We're not supposed to hide the hope and the joy of Christ that we have. That's a whole different thing than saying we want to grow into this mega thing. But we do want to grow wide. That is part of the commandment of Christ, to be salt and light in the world, to share the hope and the blessing of God around us. So we are looking to welcome folks in, to reach out with activities like the ones from this fall. But I'll also tell you this. I've seen this over and over again most of my adult life, but I just read the statistic again, that most people who come to church, who come to faith, come because someone invited them personally. Like 10 times more than the next thing, which might be a billboard or a activity or this or that. Like 88% of the people that come new to faith into the church is because somebody invited them to come. Come with me to church this Sunday, or come with me to this event. And that's it. There's no complex presentation of faith or pamphlets handed out or anything like that. It's just, hey, come with me. This is something that means a lot to me. I'd love for you to come visit with me. So we want to grow wide, deep and wide. And then care. And that's going to take two directions as well. We want to continue to mature and become better at and more effective at caring for our own members. Right? So that takes the forms of fellowship, prayer, relationship, being involved with people, helping each other. It's our deacon's ministry. We've just rotated over, and you may have gotten a new deacon, and they have called you or will be calling you. Embrace that. They are here to care for you, right? And that's part of our mission. And we're here to care for each other. We don't just show up and sit in our bubble and worship, but we love each other. We want to know what's going on. We support each other. So we want to continue to hone and sharpen and become more and more excellent at caring inwardly. But the scripture also commands us to care outwardly. We've just done a whole series on who is my neighbor and living life in the name of Jesus. And part of caring is carrying outwardly into our community. It may not convert into church members, and that's fine. That's not why we care. We care because Jesus cares. We are good neighbors because Jesus said, be a good neighbor. Who is the neighbor? It's the one who shows mercy, who shows compassion. So that's our vision, right? You know, it plays itself out in very specific activities and events and that sort of thing that Mark has shared and will continue to put before you. But that's the heart that's behind it. We want to grow deep. We want to grow wide. We want to care inwardly for each other, and we want to care outwardly. And all of that is rooted in Scripture. This is why God made the church, right? It's why he's raised up leaders, is to equip you to grow and to care, to give you what you need to do that. So I want to end with one last screen, a challenge for the coming year, and just ask three questions for you to ponder. I like that Megan also sent the children away with a question to ponder, and it's very similar to what I want to ask you. Three things. Where and how do you need to grow in the coming year? I'm primarily thinking spiritually, but God may bring something else to mind. How and where do you need to grow in the coming year? Where and how will God use you to care in the coming year? And that doesn't neglect how you need to be cared for. But if we're all asking this question right, then hopefully you will receive the care you need. So how and where do you need to grow? How and where will God use you to care? And then how can we combine these individual answers together to be the church that God wants us to be? And that's what I want. That's my dream. It's not Robert's dream, but it's to be the church that God wants us to be. And if we're all aimed in that direction, we will meet at the foot of the cross and in the will of God. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this special place that's here on this corner in this neighborhood. Thank you for the initial vision to be a place of blessing and a place of caring, both for you and for neighbors. And as we continue to move forward, as we look and plan ahead for a new year, would you give us your vision? Not our vision, but your vision. Would you give us your faithfulness, the faithfulness of Christ, that as we follow after him step by step, we will find ourselves faithful and we will be the church and the people you want us to be. Lord, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your word and your spirit. And as we prepare to gather at your table, would you prepare our hearts and our wills and our minds to meet you there? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.